watching Exchange TV. This current series, I Choose the Fruit of Grace, is all about how we can choose to live in the goodness of what God has already put in us. So prepare your heart to be blessed today. Prepare your heart to be encouraged with this incredible message of God's love and grace.
The message I want to share with you today is going to have an impact upon your health if you choose to let it. It will have an impact upon your health if you choose to let it. Studies around the world by academics have proved that it has a positive effect on the health of people who apply it constantly in their own lives. Furthermore, I want to point out to you at this stage that I'm going to ask you to do something at the end. So if you're not quite happy with that sort of thing, now's your time to leg it out the door. Nobody? No? I've got you all with me. Yeah, so I'm going to ask you to do something at the end. What I'm talking about today is kindness. Kindness. And this is week 6 of our series here, summer series as Exchange. I Choose the Fruit of Grace. And it's based on Paul's letter to the Galatians, specifically Galatians 5, 22, 23, which reads, as we know now, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." But first, to one of my favourite Terry's chocolate orange. Anybody like these? Yes, there's a few partial to an old Terry's chocolate orange. What can you tell me about a Terry's chocolate orange apart from it being chocolatey and orangey? It's made by Terry, so you're so sharp you could cut yourself. You can break it up into what? Segments. So if I... This actually opens up, and there are segments inside. And this is kind of like what we're talking about over this summer. We have God dwelling in us, His very presence within us. And we are talking about really the characteristics of God within us. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. Just like these segments make one part of a whole part of confectionery called Terry's Chocolate Orange. So when we as Christians have God dwelling in us, we can show love, we can show joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. When we choose to do it. When we choose to do it. And when we choose to apply one of these characteristics, the power of God is released within our own lives. And as I said, it's already because the presence of God is in our lives as believers. And when we apply it consistently, we will consistently see the outworking of fruit. Do you know what? God works from the inside out. We say this so many times at Exchange because it's the truth. Grace transforms people. The grace of God, the love of God, transforms people from the inside out because God dwelling in us. We choose to believe, to follow the new creation which God has made us to be. Not some spit and polished up old version of what we used to be. Some brand new creation in it. And when we choose to follow that, we see the fruit of that in our lives. And this is what we're getting at over this summer series. And today's key thought is this: choose kindness, for it is love in action. Choose kindness, for it is love in action. I've got 3 points. I can't help it. I became a Christian. I went to a Baptist church, and it was 3 point city. This is just what you're going to get from me, right? Well, first point is character. Kindness, our character. Kind is descriptive of what God's character and disposition is. If we could pierce God, if we could somehow cut God open, we could see that He pours out kindness. But hold on there a minute. Let me stop you right there. Hasn't humanity already done that? When Jesus poured Himself out for us on the cross. 1 John 4, verse 8 says this: God is love. The word used for love there is agape. Paul, writing his first letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, says love is kind. Agape is kind. Therefore, basic systematic theology, or logic if you prefer, God is kind. God is kind. And he's not just kind to good people. He's not just kind to his own people. He is kind to everybody. If you've got your tablet, your phone, your Bible there, get it out and turn up to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. These are the words of Jesus, what he was speaking. Luke chapter 6, verses 35 to 36. I'm reading from the Message version of it. I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity, the way our Father lives towards us, generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst. Our Father is kind. You be kind. He's kind, full stop. Kind is what he is. As kind is descriptive, then kindness is the outward action of what God does. In Galatians 5:22, we hear the word kindness. And there, the Greek word that Paul uses is Christotos. Christotos. Christotos means kindness or moral excellence. It's a noun. It's defined as God meeting real needs in his way. Kindness is consistent with the character of God. What God does, I've said this before, what God does is always in line with who he is. He does not claim to be one thing or say one thing and then turn around and do something totally different. He is consistent. Listen to what the Bible says about God, recorded of his son Jesus Christ in Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ, who is God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is consistent. He is never mean. He is never unkind. It is impossible for him to be unkind. Impossible. Look at his dealings with us. As believers, God has shown us the ultimate kindness in accepting us as his adopted children, in calling us his friends, in calling us to be co-workers with him in his redemptive plan for mankind. God in his kindness met the greatest need anyone has in dealing with their sin and restoring people in right relationship with him, those who call upon his name. Not only this, but he then turns around and promises that he will give them life and life to the fullest when they do. What an amazing God we have. Totally consistent in his kindness towards us all. And I would encourage you this morning, if you're not a believer, to put your trust in God. He's not fickle. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He is good. We've sang it this morning. He is good. He is loving. He is kind. And he has your best interests at heart. In fact, God's kindness, as Paul writes in Romans 2, verse 4, is meant to lead you to repentance. And Andrew has spoken many times about the word repentance there. That metanoia, that change of mind. God is consistently showing people kindness that they might change their mind and follow him and have a life and life in all of its fullness. That is the truth this morning, people. That is the truth. You know, to the believers here, Christotos, kindness is love in action. It is the very character of God working through us. As believers in choosing kindness, you're choosing to live as God himself did in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this morning, actually, when I was sitting playing the drums. And it's kind of like the electric in your house. The power is going into the house, but you get to choose when to turn the light on, and the power flows to the light. When you choose to show kindness, God flows through your circumstances and works in your world. We need to choose kindness. We need to choose that kindness of God, the character of God that is within us. We are new creations, new people. Character. Point two, kindness, our focus. You know, if we look at the world round about us, we live in a very self-obsessed world, don't we? Very self-obsessed. It's all about me, me, me. The whole consumer culture that exists feeds into this me-first nature. You're the center of the world. You do what makes you feel happy. You do what makes you feel good. Don't worry about anybody else. You do what you want. Do you know what? It's equivalent to walking around with a mirror in front of your face all of the time. That's what it's equivalent to. I want that car. I want that house. I want that job. I want that holiday. I want that fella or girl. I want that particular career. I want this, that, or the other. I want. Me. I want. I know it looks ridiculous, but that really is the culture in which we live. There are two things with that are problematic. First of all, when we're focused on ourselves, it's hard to be focused on what's around about you. When you're looking at yourself, you're hard to see what is going on round about you. I was in Belfast some time ago. I went in at a lunchtime. Kathy had asked me to go and pick something up. And I was at the top of Royal Avenue there, just facing City Hall, where the lights and that were there. And the lights, as I was just coming up them, had just turned red. And the wee green man had come out. So I started to walk across the road. And the bus driver, of course, he was sitting there, you know, as bus drivers tend to do, over the steering wheel and that. But as I walked across the road, I noticed there was a guy standing there. And clearly, he was visually impaired. He had a fluorescent jacket on and he had the guide dog on. But he wasn't moving. He was standing still. And it made me think, but I walked on past. But something in my spirit made me stop just before I got further up the street. And I turned round, and this poor man, he was still standing there with his dog. And I wondered, what on earth is going on here? And then it suddenly dawned on me. Although the green man is on, there's no audible sound. He can't hear. And of course, he couldn't see to cross the road. And I also noticed something else. I noticed busy people running on past. I noticed people walking past. They didn't even cast a glance upon the guy. They run quite way past them. They were busy, focused on what they had to do during their lunch hour, whatever they were doing. And here was this poor man standing here. So I turned round and I went over to the man and I spoke to him. And he said, I'm afraid to step out in case I get knocked over. He says, it could be a bike, could be anything. You know, I can't hear the sound. So I led him across the road. But that stuck in my mind. You know, so many people in the world run on and are focused about what they do. You cannot see the need that is round about you. Secondly, have you noticed how many people in this self-obsessed, me-first world end up wrecked, burned out, hurt, depressed through that me mindset, chewed up and spat out off the conveyor belt of life? The Eskimos, they live up in the Arctic, and they're constantly, some of those communities which live out in the wilderness, are a threat from wolves. Wolves can come in, and they have to be careful with wolves around their kids and that, because a wolf could snatch a baby and kill it. So what do the Eskimos do? The Eskimos take a large bladed knife, something about this size. They'd start to dip the blade in blood. They then put it out and let the blade, the blood and the braid, freeze. They then do it again. Let the blood and the braid freeze. They then do it again. And again, and again. Eventually, there is so much frozen blood on this blade that you cannot actually see the blade of the knife. What they then do is they take this knife, they go outside of the little town, of the little community, and ram it into the ground with the handle first. And they leave it there, and they wait. But somewhere in the distance, Mr. Wolfie, he smells the blood. He smells the blood, and he's attracted by it, and he goes towards it, and he finds this blade stuck up out of the ground with this frozen blood on it, and he thinks he's got it landed here. So he starts to lick it, and he licks, and he licks, and he licks, and he licks, and he keeps going, and he keeps going, and he keeps going, but eventually the frozen blood wears away, and he gets through to the knife blade, but he keeps going. Because he can taste blood. But what he doesn't realize he's doing is actually killing himself. And the wolf ends up bleeding to to death. Bleeding to death. What about the world round about us? What about us sometimes? Oh, I want that. I want that. I see that. I see what they've got. I want that. I want that. Oh, this person here, they've got this house. We've got to get a house like that. I'm bored in my marriage. The friends at work keep asking me out. They're not Christians, like, but it'll be all right. We then go. Next thing, you're at the blade. You start out, I'm going to do more work. I'm going to put more hours in. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And you come focused on the work, the turn, the money, to get the object. You're at the work party. Oh, yeah, I'll meet you sometime for coffee. We wait you for a drink. Before you know it, you're licking the blade and you're doing yourself damage. That's what this world is doing all the time. The devil sells lies. He wants to seek to steal, kill, and destroy. God comes to give us life, and life in all of its fullness. The world around us swallows the lie that me first is good, but it ends up with people that are wrecked. With relationships that are wrecked, with finances that are wrecked, with families that are wrecked. That can be the end result of the me first culture. But you know what? The perfect antidote is kindness. Kindness. Kindness is entirely the opposite. And you know what? It's liberating. It is liberating. Because we don't have to follow that path anymore. God wants to give us life and life in all of its fullness. That is good. Let's choose kindness. And in choosing kindness, you are choosing life and health itself. I've got a short video here that I want you to show. So if you could kill the lights, Paul, there, and stick the video on.
The science of kindness. Matter of fact, like most medical antidepressants, kindness stimulates the production of serotonin. Serotonin heals your wounds, calms you down, and makes you happy. The real kicker? Kindness boosts serotonin in the giver, the receiver, and everyone who witnesses it. Every act of kindness also spreads through 3 degrees of separation, and serotonin is just the beginning. You'll also produce more endorphins, the brain's natural painkiller. Endorphins are 3 times more effective than morphine, and they won't land you in jail. And if that's still not quite enough, being kind produces oxytocin in your system. Oxytocin, the cuddle hormone, promotes social bonding, exerts an immediate calming effect, increases trust and generosity, strengthens the immune system, and boosts virility. I guess they weren't joking when they said, being kind is a good thing. To top it all off, compassionate people also have 2 times the amount of DHEA, which slows down aging, and 23% less cortisol, the infamous stress hormone. With so many benefits, every act of kindness is a healthy one. It's a scientific fact.
Simple, straightforward, isn't it? See your Clarins, see your Oil of Olay, see your Marks and Spencer's nighttime formula, see whatever else you've got, throw it in the bin, and that's only the men. And see, for the women, you can do the same too. Being kind has a positive effect on your health. Why do you think that that is? Why do you think that that is? Why do we think kindness has a positive effect on our health? Well, it's very simple. When you're focused on other people, you can't be focused on yourself. But we've already seen from the video, when you focus on other people and show them kindness, you end up benefiting anyway. You end up benefiting anyway. When we look around, when we see the needs of other people, and we start acting on those needs, focusing on releasing the kindness that God has put in us to a needy world round about us, you benefit too. You benefit too. By showing kindness to others, you are, in fact, showing kindness to yourself. This is the topsy-turvy radicality, if you like, of the grace message of God. Tips the whole thing the world produces upside down. Let's be real here for a moment. Let's start with ourselves and churches. You know, sometimes churches aren't the greatest exhibitors of kindness, are they? When we have our relationships with one another. You know, many churches down through the ages have disagreed over Bible passages. Other disagreed with churches, leaders, speakers, style of worship, change, or any number of 100 different things. You know, and we can take offense at one another. I'll talk about that in a minute. The Bible says this, Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Folks, we need to be kind to one another as family. We need to be kind to one another as family. You know, if we look at church and, you know, the people on the outside looking in, how do they expect people to take church seriously when they see people bickering or backbiting or fighting? Or why would anybody want to be a part of that? They want to be a part of something positive. Kindness is showing God's love in action. Be kind to one another. Do you know sometimes that, you know, sometimes we're not open or receptive to acts of kindness? Why did you do that? Why did you do that? You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Why did he or she do that for me? Does he think I can't do it myself? We get on like that. Do you know what? We take offense. We get proud. Do you know what? See, if you do that, you're like a blocked pipe. A blocked pipe. God wants to pour blessing into your life and bless the other person who's pouring the blessing in as well. So let them. And let's show kindness and love to one another, respectively, as a church, as individuals, as families. Show kindness. But as believers, and as Exchange Church here this morning, kindness does not stop at the front door on the Albert Bridge Road. It doesn't stop at the front door on the Albert Bridge Road. Kindness is our character, God within us. Kindness is our focus, but kindness is our purpose. It is our purpose. When we choose kindness, we not only reflect the character of God, we not only are focused on others, but we play a part in bringing heaven to earth. We play a part in kingdom come. What a privilege. What a privilege. We're ambassadors this morning, believers, for the kingdom of God here on earth. We, the church, are not just a holy bless me up club. Walking around like this. Because that's the Christian equivalent of focusing in on yourself. We need to remember the world round about us. We're called to show kindness to those outside of the church. And the practical end of love is kindness, love, and action. It's up to us, folks. It's up to you and me. Up to us together as Christians. The church is plan A. There's no plan B. We are God's plan to reach a lost and hurting world. And when we choose to show kindness, we are showing God's love in action. We are putting hands, we are putting feet, we are putting kind words to God's love in action on the ground. You know, we've had a great week here in church. Over 60 kids coming through the door of the summer scheme. It's been magnificent. Over 2/3 of those kids have come from homes where there's absolutely no connection to this church. What we have just done here in this church is a massive act of kindness to the community round about us. It is God meeting a real need in the community through us as believers. It is magnificent. And all of those involved, I applaud you. All of those who are involved in the organization, the planning, I applaud you. Great work. A couple of weeks' time with 23 people from the church are connected with the church going out to Romania to work with the Smiles Foundation for a week to carry out practical work and also to share the love of God with people there. Kindness in action. But our mindset, our attitude, our choice should always be open to the leading of the Spirit in showing kindness. Do you know what? What we have done the past week is absolutely brilliant. But there's no point in us now sitting back on our laurels, patting us on the back, going, Well, aren't we great? We showed kindness. Bully, bravo. And then we walk out of here, we get the blinkers on again, and we go back to living self-focused lives. We can't, the next day or week, walk past a need. We can't ignore what is going on. Kindness is love in action. We need to choose to open our eyes to our world, to see the need, and to show kindness in our own lives to the world around about us. Famous verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul writes this. Again, I'm reading from the Message version. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without ever thinking. We're not scholastic car Christians where we slot into what the world is already doing. We can't do that. As Andrea's already been saying earlier on, our mandate is bigger. Our mandate is better. Our mandate is to show the world the love of God round about us. How do we do that? By little acts of kindness. By little acts of kindness. Paul goes on to say, instead, fix your attention on God. Focus on God. Focus on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. That's the heart of the grace message. God works at changing us from the inside out. Religion does outside in. It doesn't work. God works from the inside out. That's the heart of grace. Listen to this. Again, we're in Romans 12, 1, 2. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. It's the key. Focusing on God will find our purpose from being transformed by him from the inside out. A couple of months ago in church here, we had three guys up, Chris, Paul, and David. And they were sharing their stories about their journey with God. And do you know what? I loved it. It's great to hear people's journeys with God. It's a great encouragement to everybody. And it's actually an act of worship and blessing to God himself, giving him the glory for transforming individual lives. And the three guys were fantastic. But one thing Chris said in particular really resonated and stuck with me. He said that God has given him a bigger heart, and God has given him a softer heart. Isn't that amazing? A bigger heart and a softer heart. You know, as believers, you and I have the ability to choose and exercise what God has placed within us. It's already within us. We need to choose to exercise that, and so doing, make our own hearts bigger and softer through showing kindness. Kindness is love in action. And here's the thing. It doesn't have to be something massive. It doesn't have to cost a fortune. You don't need to be mega rich. Because if you think that, you've missed the point. And it's not just about programs or organized activities, though they, of course, do have their merits. On a section remaining of the Berlin Wall in Germany, someone has put this piece of graffiti on the wall. Many small people who in many small places do many small things that can alter the face of the world. We're world changers this morning, people, through the little things that we do. You might not realize it, but you will meet a world that I will not meet this week. And you can transform them, transform that world through showing God's kindness, God's love in action. What is important here is our consistent mindset. The consistent mindset to be kind, even if we perceive it to be a small way. The Berlin Wall came down one chip at a time. The barriers in the world round about us, the barriers around people's hearts will come down one act of kindness at a time. You can stand and maybe preach the gospel and whatnot to them, you're blue in the face. But you know what? There's something when you pour out kindness to that person that busts through the wall that is surrounding their heart. You just never know the difference a small act of kindness will make to someone's life. You can change your world. You can change your world one act of kindness at a time. One act of kindness at a time. A cup of coffee. That listening ear. That errand run for an elderly neighbor. That dinner invite. That card sent. It's a cumulative effect, the build-up of all of these small choices that make the difference, just like this graffiti on the wall says. Little actions, when joined together, make a massive difference. Kindness is love in action. And you, believer, this morning, can make a difference in your world if you choose to operate out of the kindness that God has already placed within your life. The new creation, the new you. That new creation that God has put inside, it's over to you. It's over to you. What are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? And I said at the start, I was going to get you to do something. I've got these little cards, and I've deliberately made them small. It says in the little card in the front, kindness. And it's got the hashtag love in action. I want you to pass the bucket around. Take one or two of those things out of it. I want you to put one in your wallet. Put it in your purse. Put it on your fridge. Put it somewhere where you will notice it. Because I want you this week deliberately to choose to show kindness. When you look at this, I want you to think, what can I do? What can I do? What impact can I have on someone's life? You need to choose kindness. And choose, as I've already said today, to let God flow through you into your circumstances, your world, because that's how your world is going to be changed. You are an ambassador for the kingdom. Choose to let God flow through you. You were created anew on purpose for a purpose. I'll say that again. You were created anew on purpose for a purpose. You were created to make a difference. You, not the person behind you, not the person beside you, not the person in front of you, not mom, dad, brother, sister, auntie, uncle, granny, granddad, you. You were created to make a difference. And it's no accident this morning that Andrew spent time talking about dreams in people's hearts. You need to choose to release that in your own life. One decision, one step at a time, and show kindness the world round about you. Kindness. God's love in action. God's love in action. Kindness is our character. Kindness is our focus. Kindness is our purpose.